blockers all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Time to get some insight from 1265. From our friend and teammate, Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you guys?
We're still trying to get some images out of our head, but give us a few minutes.
Thanks for not putting it in mind.
Yeah, I figured. Merry Christmas to you. The Christian Watson
news. Are you sure, Jamie? I mean, we can share it, Jason, if you really want to know.
Nope, I'm good.
Wise man, Jason. Wise man.
Suit yourself.
The Christian Watson news went...
I assume it's related to Chewy.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Jason, can you guess who started it all?
Yes.
You would be correct.
Familiar with your work. Yeah.
I hope not this familiar with his
work. Oh, boy.
The Christian Watson news went official yesterday. He is out for the season, I guess, with the ACL injury. And I had a question because I saw a tweet yesterday where people were talking about his contract. And potentially it basically like rolling over. You have any idea what this is? What is this stipulation? What is this detail where if Christian Watson is on the PUP list for 2025, his contract could just sort of roll over and then he wouldn't hit free agency until 27? I'm unfamiliar with this.
Yeah, it's called tolling. But look, I don't know the specifics of his injury. I don't know how severe it is. I do know that T.J. Hockenson suffered a torn ACL and MCL on Christmas Eve last year. And so, and they didn't do his surgery until January 29th. And so he came off the PUP list after practicing for a couple of weeks on November 3rd. So I don't know if that's... I don't know if that's Packers fans that would like to keep him and looking at the possibility of that would be one way that, you know, they'd be able to keep him and it wouldn't cost them that much. But Christian Watson doesn't have any interest in that. Christian Watson wants to play football next year. Christian Watson wants to have a good second half of the season once he is medically cleared, and he wants to get a new contract, whether it's here or elsewhere. I just feel like, you know, T.J. Hockenson's timeline is probably the one that he will end up having to follow because they suffered their ACL injuries at similar times. Now, again, every injury is different. We don't know what other damage there is inside his knee. We don't know when they're going to actually do the surgery. But, yeah, theoretically, if he's not able to play at all next year, his contract can be tolled, and he would be, he would just play the following year on the fourth year of his rookie contract. But let's be very clear, that is not something that Christian Watson wants to have happen. He wants to be able to play. Hockenson played the last 10 games of the regular season. He'll obviously play in their playoff game this weekend. But I don't know if that's just, you know, wishful thinking of Packers fans who'd like to keep a player that they like or whatever that is, but I would say that's a possibility, not a likelihood.
Jason, if they lose on Sunday, what will you say about this season?
Probably the same thing I said to Gabe and to Strofe in the trailer at Summerfest when we were talking about this season. I mean, I went from underselling them last year and saying they'd go 6-11 to overselling them this year. I picked them to go 12-5, and they managed to miss that by losing to the Bears. But what I said that day, and you know, I've recycled it multiple times since, is that they could be a better team with a better record and not get any farther in the postseason, or actually go less far in the postseason. And if they lose to Philly, that's exactly what will happen compared to last year. And so my point on that is not to pretend like I'm some sort of great prognosticator, because clearly I'm not. My point is that this is the process of becoming a championship contender. I was talking to somebody after the game, and he's old like me, and he said that this team reminded him of the 94 Packers, which you were obviously on. Like, you know, I understand everybody wants a Super Bowl, and I'm not saying that they can't go on a run. I think it's highly unlikely, but I'm not ruling it out. It's not a 0% chance. But the way you guys built toward being the 96 championship team, it was a process, right? I mean, 93, 94, you win a playoff game, and then obviously you don't get any further. 95, you beat the defending champs. It's really a benchmark moment for Holmgren and your program. And then you obviously have a lead on the Cowboys and then lose in Dallas in the NFC title game. And then in 96, not that it was perfect smooth sailing the entire way to New Orleans, but it was pretty clear you guys were that good. And so I still believe that it is a process of becoming a championship caliber team. And I stand by my statement that they're a year away. And if somehow they go on a miraculous three-game run here, they will arrive early. But I will look at this season as a step forward, even if it doesn't feel like that, if they lose their first-round playoff game.
In what ways do you think they're a better team now than they were last year?
I think they're way better defensively, and I think they're only going to get better as they get more and more comfortable in the Jeff Hafley scheme. Let's not let the fact that they lined up their three safeties in Outagamie County on that final play change the fact that they've been pretty good defensively. They've added a ton of young talent. I think they're better because they all these young guys have experience. I don't think that they will be the youngest team in the league every year. But when you don't have top end of the roster, old guys on your roster, your team average for how old each player is always going to be low. And they don't have anybody that's even close to that at this point, right? I mean, there's no one on their roster, especially if they move on from Jair, who'll be at the ripe old age of 28 if they do that, that they'll continue to be young. Now, I don't know what they're going to do in free agency. They obviously have a lot of cap space to work with. I would say that they have to rework their cornerback position. I would argue that they have to figure out better players that'll fit what Hafley does on the defensive line. I am curious. I know that there's a lot of Packers fans that have visions of T. Higgins dancing in their heads.
What's up?
You're one of them, I think.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So I think that they will, you know, I think they'll continue to augment the roster, but look, they've got a player in Edgerrin Cooper who looks like a big-time stud. They obviously have decisions to make on Wyatt and Walker on the fifth-year option. But those guys are obviously under contract next year on the fourth year of their rookie deals regardless. They're going to have opportunities to continue to grow. We've seen more glimpses, I would say, from Walker and Wyatt than we saw in their first two seasons. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree, Jason. My issue is, though, after they did what they did against Chicago, my brain started rolling, and I went back and I looked at late game situations where the team needed to get a stop, either to win or give themselves, you know, the ball back, like against Minnesota a couple weeks ago. I found 9 such situations. They only got the stop twice. Why have they been so bad in late game situations?
Wait, how many of those are this year?
All of them. All of them. I can go through them if
you
want.
They had 9 games. This is really good. I may steal this.
Yeah.
They had nine times.
9 times.
Where they had to get a stop, to get the ball back to try and to try and win the game?
Or either win the game or tie the game. So, like, against, for example, against the Eagles, the Packers kicked a field goal, Jason, 7:52 left to get within two. So, you know, get a stop, get the ball back, you get a chance to win. Instead, they give up a 16-play, 67-yard field goal drive and leave Jordan Love basically no time. They get the stops against the Colts and Rams. The Packers punted up two with 8:11 left against Houston, gave up a 13-play, 45-yard, 6:27 drive that they were, again, bailed out because the offense got the game-winning field goal. Same thing happened next week against Jacksonville. Punt with 3:50 up, 8-play, 87-yard touchdown drive to tie the game. Could have ended it there. They get bailed out with the field goal. Up one against Chicago, 7-play, 42-yard drive. They're bailed out because Rich Bisaccia saw something on film. They're able to block a field goal. Against Detroit, field goal to tie the game, 3:38 left, 11-play, 53-yard drive, game-winning field goal. Minnesota, touchdown to get within two, 2:18 left, give up first two first downs to lose. And then, of course, what happened on Sunday against Chicago.
Wow. Great research. Yeah, that's not great, Bob. I don't know. I don't have a great comeback for that.
Okay, all right.
I still think they're
Jason, I agree with you, and when I look at the numbers, like the raw numbers, just the total numbers for the 17 games are I mean they're a top 10 defense, right? I think they're sixth overall, fifth in points. Maybe I have those two numbers flipped around. So like the overall raw numbers are great, but then I look at the situational stuff and I'm going, okay, if they can be that good to put up those numbers, why is this happening?
And what's really crazy is I think they're pretty good on third down, if I remember. Like, I think they were top 10 in third down, at least going into the Bears game. But those situations where you need to get a third down stop and get off the grass, as they like to say, you're right. They failed to do that.
I feel like it was at like a 36% clip, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, and I think that had them in the top 10, at least going into the Bears game. And my point is, and I go back to what I said earlier, like, you know, first year coordinator – who, I mean, let's be honest, and I'm sure Jeff Hafley will say this when we talk to him on Thursday, but, I mean, he screwed up, right? He had those guys in the wrong coverage. Mm-hmm. Never been an NFL coordinator in his coaching career. Was a college coordinator at Ohio State, obviously was a head coach at Boston College, but, you know, he had some growing pains too. Now, again, in the grand scheme of things, they get the stop, they win 22-21, they're in the exact same playoff seed. So the damage is more to their psyche and to their confidence and to their overall record than it is to what it meant for their playoff seeding. But, yeah, that's a mistake. There's no, you know, let's not pretend that just because I like Jeff Hafley, that's not a major mistake at the end of a game. So, you know, if you want to extrapolate this argument, Gabe, into whether or not they're going to keep that process going forward next season and then the season after that and whenever they get to a Super Bowl under this staff, then we have to talk about late game management, not just defenses getting stops, but, you know, making the right decisions with timeouts and a variety of other things that I think Matt LaFleur is still improving with. Now, look, I say this about a coach who lost track of the downs in Super Bowl 32 and allowed Terrell Davis to score and had, you know, had to admit afterward that he lost track of the downs. But I feel like Mike Holmgren, more than anyone else during my time covering the team. And Chewy, if this is wrong, obviously you played for him, so you remember those years better than I do, which that pains me to ever say that you would remember something better than I do. But he always seemed to be able to handle those scenarios really well. Like, it just came naturally to him. Sherman, not as much. Mike McCarthy, kind of uneven. And at this point, Matt LaFleur, I think we're kind of looking at that as, you know, that's an area that he needs to improve moving forward.
Jason, good stuff this morning. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde can be heard on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. It is not just Gabe's list that is perplexing when you look at this 2024-2025 Packers team. Statistically, Joshy compiles numbers showing how elite they are in a boatload of categories, and yet still struggling against the top teams in the league, which happen to be at least some of them in their division. We'll dive into that right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.